Come again before the presence of God on this eve of the day that we set aside to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. We just celebrated Good Friday. You know, in spite of what Jesus saw Deborah set before him, he did not come down. He went up there and he yes, continued he to do that for you and to do that for me. And we thank and praise God for what he did. He chose us. He decided to do that for us. Yes. You know, and we just thank you. So as we go before the throne of grace, we just want to celebrate and thank God. Oh, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, right now that you are an awesome God. You're a mighty King. Oh, God, we thank you for the forgiveness of our sins. We thank you for this day that we've never seen before. Yes. My God. Oh, Father God, we thank you that you so loved the world that you gave your only Son. Oh, God, that we might have life and have it abundantly, Father God. You chose us, God, and we recognize by faith, oh, God, that you're worthy of all honor, praise, and all worship as the creator and sustainer of all things. Oh, God. Oh, Father God, as creator, Father God, we confess that you made us for yourself and we are yours for your very own, God. Oh, Father God, we recognize by faith today that you loved us so much that you chose us in Christ before the beginning of time, Father God, sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place. Oh, God, whereby every provision has already been made for us, God, because of what Jesus done for us, God. Oh, he made provisions for our past, for our present, and even for our future needs because of Christ Jesus and what he done on the cross for us, God. Oh, Father God, he has given us life and life abundantly. Christ in the heavenly places, Father God, has anointed the Holy Spirit to come down. We recognize by faith that since we have received Christ, those of us who have received Christ and those who still have the opportunity to receive him, my God, that we are in his hands, Father, as believers of God's word, that he said he will receive us and adopt us into a family. That means we can be heirs and connected to him as sons of the living God. Oh, Father God, because, oh, Father God, of what Christ done for us, our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit, redeemed, cleansed, healed, delivered, and set free, Father God, because of the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because of the blood, Father God, and the death and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we are redeemed out of the hands of Satan. Oh, through the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and his death and resurrection, Father God, all our sins are forgiven. We thank you right now because of the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and his death and resurrection, Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, God, we are sons. Continuously, our sins are continuously cleansed, oh, God, from all iniquity through the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are justified, oh, God. We are made whole. We are made righteous in right standing with the King. He did it so that we can go forth, oh God, and be in right standing to receive everything that you have for us in the kingdom, my God, because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh God, through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, his death and resurrection, we are sanctified, made holy, oh God, set apart, oh God, unto God, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. He cleansed us of all unrighteousness. Oh God, all unconscious of dead works is gone from us, God, because of what he done for us, Lord God. And we celebrate that day. Oh, blessed be the God, our Father. Oh God, who has given us blessings in all spiritual in the heavenly places, God. We confess with our mouth and we believe in our heart that God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead and that he is Lord. He is Lord over our lives. So we say thank you, Father God.
Thank you.
Oh God, he was crucified for us, Father God, but we now, God, are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, and the life that we now live in the flesh, my God, we live with the Son of the living God, who died for us and gave himself for me and for you. He gave himself for me and for you, and so now we are washed. Oh God, we are sanctified. We are justified. Oh God, and made whole again.
Thank you, Lord, in the name
of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So God, because of what you've done, we present our bodies to you as living sacrifices. Oh God, we submit ourselves to you, God. Everyone at the sound of my voice who know you, God, and those who don't know you, God, has an opportunity, oh God. It's a new day. It's a new time. It's a new year, God. So now, Father, as we begin to prepare our hearts, oh God, to hear a word from you, Father, we say thank you, Father God. We ask you right now that you continue to order our steps and lead us. And God, as Holy Spirit, be with us. Open the ears of those who will hear and the hearts of those who receive the word that you have for us today. We thank you, Father, in the mighty, miraculous name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Glory to God.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Vishera. Praise God. Praise God. You know, I think it was in November or December, the Lord had me to proclaim new day, new season, new year, fresh start. And the Lord has me to go back over that. And I would say to you, embrace this new day. Embrace this new season. God is putting you back in rhythm. He is restoring the rhythm of your life unto him, your service unto him, your seeking him. He's bringing you back in rhythm. You know, there has been different testimonies that I have heard of individuals that would say, I used to be in Christ. I used to do this. I used to have an awesome prayer life. I used to be so focused and be in the presence of God. And they talked about what they used to do. And God is restoring what used to be. And he's bringing you back to his first love, your first love. Bringing you back to the joy of his salvation, bringing you back. So receive this fresh breath today. New day, new season. Now I'm going to talk about a few points that occurred in when Genesis, and when they had dominion over the garden, that they were able to rule. They had authority and power. In this new day, God is going to restore. The last point is restore back to you your innocence. Amen. Point one, Genesis 2:7. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living being. The life-giving breath is seen again in John 20:22. As Jesus imparted new life to his disciples. The breath of God is the life and power of God, giving man the animation, bringing him to life. Let's look at John 2:20, 21, 22. It says again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I am sending you." This is a new day. Embrace it. Receive it. And now with the breath, he breatheth on them and said, "Receive the Holy Ghost." Now, the commentary says that Jesus, again, identified himself with his Father. He told the disciples by whose authority he did his work. Then he passed the job to his disciples of spreading the gospel of salvation around the world. Whatever God has asked you to do, remember you have authority that comes from God. Whatever he has asked you to do. Now, Jesus has demonstrated by words and actions how to accomplish the job he has given us. As the Father sent Jesus, Jesus sent the followers. Jesus sent me. Jesus sent you. Amen. Mm-hmm. Point two, remember, be faithful over the small, and he will make you rulers over much. Remember that. Sometimes in the small, it can be discouraging. But God says in the Bible, it says, be faithful over the small, and he'll make you ruler over much. You've got to remember that word when it might just be you by yourself being faithful over whatever he's called you to do. Now the Lord God had planted, this is in Genesis 2:8. It says, now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, given a location, in Eden. Where is your garden? Is it your ministry? Is it a community where you volunteer your services? Is it in praise and worship? Is it in intercessory and war, being a prayer warrior? Is it a prison ministry, or is it feeding the homeless? Where is your garden? Now, God has given me two gardens. I have the garden of San Antonio Door of Hope Prayer Center. Then I also have the garden of Strong Foundation Outreach Ministry. And that's a ministry that minister to those that are less fortunate, that doesn't have a home. And God has called me to go and do my mission work. It's in San Antonio, but it is in that facility. And so my work is not just going and just speaking, but I go in and labor. I go in to help wherever there's needed to be some kind of help. So where is your garden? Where are you volunteering? There are so many places throughout the city of San Antonio that need volunteers, that need your help. Where is your garden? Jeremiah 29:11-13 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, nor to harm you. It's not for not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Where is your garden? This is a new day, a new season. Now, we did go over this before, but sometimes you can go over something and then we'll put it aside and forget to go back. So God is bringing refreshing time here. Amen. Point three, Genesis 2:15, it says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Hallelujah. We got a job to do. John 20:21 says again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Now, God has raised us up. He has strengthened us. He has encouraged us. He's given me us what we need, equipped us to do a work. Are you going out and doing the work? Where is your garden? We do have a job to do. I would tell a soldier, anytime I met a soldier, I would tell them, thank you for your service. And they, in return, like as if it was nothing and as if it was just a common thing, that's my job. Why are you thanking me for it? It's my job. And they would say, thank you. It's my job. And if you think about what a soldier signs up for, they sign up for some hard task.
Yes.
But they are faithful to it. And they are committed to that task that they've signed up for. I remember one soldier that I talked to. He says, I was created to be in the ministry, in the ministry of the military. Mm. He said, I'm better on the battlefield than I am here. He said, that's my job. He said, you may volunteer to work with teenage girls or something like that. He said, that's what you were equipped for. I can't do that. But I can go and fight this war for my country. He said, that's my job. So they sign up for things. And just as we sign up and say yes to Jesus, because the Bible, there's a song that saying yes. Yes. And I require more of you. And I hope that Brother Howell will play that at the end. Again, let's see. What are you doing to have the best impact on your garden? How are you applying yourself to develop your garden? What type of attention are you giving to your garden? Are you praying? Are you focused? Is there a lot of distractions going on? Are you studying? Are you walking in love and demonstrating the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What are you doing? Now, point four, here's another point about having a job. The Bible says in Luke 10:2, and he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest, therefore to send out workers into his harvest field. We all have an assignment. This is a new day, a fresh start, a new beginning. Remember David, when King David was appointed to be king, but he had to go through a lot of trials and tribulations during that time of being with Saul. And it said that Saul tried to kill David because he was jealous of David's popularity. Yet David continued to protect and comfort Saul. Perhaps people have been jealous of you and have been attacking you in some way. They may be intimidated by your strength, which make them conscious of their own shortcomings. It would be natural to strike back or to avoid them. A better response is to befriend them, according to Matthew 5:43-44. To befriend them and to ask God for the strength to continue to love them as David kept on loving Saul. One point I do want to say is keep your mouth off of God's leaders. Do not speak against God's leaders. God is the one that raises them up for noble purposes and ignoble purposes. Keep your mouth off of God's leaders. If you have spoken negative concerning any of God's leaders, repent. And I praise God for repentance in the name of Jesus. I pray that you hear me today. This is a new day. It's a new season. It is a fresh start. Point five, Genesis 17:2-17. But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. God has given you liberty to choose to do what's right or wrong. You have liberty. Why would God place a tree in the garden and then forbid Adam to eat from it? God wanted Adam to obey, but God gave Adam freedom to choose. Now, there are things that's going to come up before you, and God is going, you get an opportunity to choose right from wrong. So choose right. The trees provided an exercise and choice, which will, of course, you get a reward if you obey and consequences for choosing to disobey. When you are faced with a choice, always choose to obey. Amen. 1 Samuel 15:22 says, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams. So it's better to choose to obey. Point six, my time is coming to an end. The Lord God said it is, this is Genesis 2:18. The Lord God said it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him, a companionship. You know, at first I thought because I'm single and I was thinking about it and I was like, Lord, well, I miss out on this benefit because I don't have a husband yet. But the Lord reminded me that I have Jesus. I have Jesus to pull on. This is a season that it is our responsibility to pull on God more today than we've ever pulled on Him before. That means you've got to make time to get in His presence. That means that you have to pull on Him like a child that's hungry for a bottle. And I tell God, I need you more today than I needed you yesterday. As the deer's pant for the water brook, God, my soul pant thirst after you, Lord God. And I would say that on a regular basis. It's time to pull on God more today than you've ever pulled on Him. You see the things that's going on in the world. You see the things that's going on. So call on Jesus today. Point seven, Genesis 2:19. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. You get the authority. Watch what you say out of your mouth. Watch what you say, because God has given us the opportunity to speak those things that are not as though they were. And Psalms 141, it says, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the doors of my lips. Because you start speaking negative, that's what you'll get. So what you call it, that's what it will be. You know, the my precious friend Elder Tanya, you know, she's no longer with us. She's back in Memphis. Praise God. God has sent her back home. And in the season that she was here with us, this was a season that she came and she was refreshed and she was restored back to her rightful position in the Lord. God will refresh us. Sometimes we need to get away. And you know, God used the ministry of Door of Hope, and she was there 7 months, God's number. She was there 7 months, and then the Lord gave her the release to go back home. And when she went back home, these are the things she said when she was going back home. She did not have a job in place. She did not even have a residence in place. All of that was dried up, that she didn't have. It was like every door was closed. So that's how she ended up coming to San Antonio. But she said before she left, this is what I'm believing from God. She spoke it out of her mouth. I'm believing for God my own residence. I'm believing from God a job that pays better and that the work schedule will work best with me. And you know what God did? He did it all in 1 week. She went there and God did what she spoke out of her mouth. And so what you call it, that's what it's going to be. Therefore, one of the things I'd say, like, for instance, if your food and you don't have no money and what would you call that? Isaiah 1:19. I am willing and obedient to God. Therefore, I eat the good of the land. If you don't have no food and don't have no money, begin to proclaim the word. I am willing and obedient to God. Therefore, I eat the good of the land. What if you get a job that you don't have no idea of what you are doing? What would you say? Psalms 1:2-3. I delight in God's law and meditate on it day and night. Therefore, whatever I do prospers. Whatever I put my hand to prospers. Amen. You love, your loved one is sick. What do you call that? Mark 16:17-18. I am a believer and this sign follows me. I lay hands on the sick in Jesus' name and they recover. That's what you call that. What you call it, that's what it will be. Amen. Point eight, this is the last part. New beginnings again. Genesis 2:25. The man and his wife were both naked and they felt no shame. God renewed our innocence. They were naked and felt no shame. They were in an innocent state. And God says He is going to renew our innocence. Amen. He's going to bring us back to renewing our innocence. You may make a mistake. There's one young lady I remember there was a Seder, and we went to the Seder, and she was one of the worshipers, and they would dance. They would have dancing songs. And this one time, she was so excited. And at the Seder, they have the stage table with Elijah's seat and everything. And she was so excited when she came to sit down. She went and pulled a chair from the table. And everybody looked at her like, oh, she took, you know, from the stage table. And she didn't even know what she had did. And when I looked at everybody and I saw how they were looking at her, I said to her, put it back, put it back. Put it back. And she turned around. She said, oh, and she put the chair back. And when she sat down with me, she started fanning and she looked at me with her eyes wide open. And she says, I don't know what I did. What did I do? I said, girl, you took Elijah's chair. She said, oh, my goodness. And she started fanning real fast. So, but it was innocent. She did not do that intentionally. Yeah. It was innocent. So all she had to do was repent, put it back, return it back, and it all was well. God says he's restoring us back to our innocence. And when he brings you into correction, there are things that he's going to bring up. And he's going to correct you for some things that's been going on and that you've been doing. Because you're in an innocent state, all you do is repent and go on. Amen? All right, praise God. We are at our last here, but I thank you for this opportunity. I love you, and God bless you. All right, Brother Harold.
Amen. Awesome.
Heard that amen. I said, so was that good?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. That was good.